This program is about unsubstantiated theories. Whenever possible, actual gamers have come forward and participated in understanding these outlandish claims. What you are about to hear is not a news broadcast. Join us. Perhaps you may be able to help prove a theory. Hello, and welcome to the Deep Dive. We're doing something a little bit different today. We decided after some of the heavier episodes that we wanted to change it up a little bit, do something a little bit lighter, a lot of bit fun. And with me today, I have... What are you doing? My guest is stripping.
This cat is not allowed to ruin this shirt.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
Come here. Okay. If you're gonna jump on me, you're not doing it while I'm wearing this shirt.
Right. So we are going to scour the internet for the craziest video game theories, and then we're gonna take that theory and try with maximum effort to prove something ridiculous, like that Fallout and Mario take place in the same universe or something. And today's special guest is actually my sister, known on the interwebs as Sister Barry, and the first person I thought of when we talked about this segment initially.
This is the kind of reputation I have.
What?
The immediate person you thought of when you...
Oh, the tinfoil hat?
A funny segment about wild conspiracy theories? Oh, I know. I'll get Sister Barry. Yeah, the tinfoil hat.
Yeah. Well, actually, Captain is the one that originally thought of the idea, and I died laughing when he told me his conspiracy, which I'm not going to tell because it's coming in a different episode.
I want to know.
Well, I can't tell
I
you,
know.
So you're going to have to wait till the episode comes out.
I'll just have to listen to the episode, which is available on Apple
says iTunes. Do you even know where it's available?
I don't get my podcast from Apple.
Okay. We're going to be talking about Stardew Valley today, and we're going to be talking about some wild theories. So do you want to start with yours or?
Oh, which one? So, first of all, in your little introduction, you said we'll be talking about conspiracies we have about games that definitely didn't intend to go that deep. First of all,
oh God, you are crazy.
You can never be sure that they definitely meant not to make their game deep. Concerned Ape, who made the game, has confirmed that no one has discovered a secret about this game yet.
Ooh.
He did say specifically it can't be found through data mining in the script of the code to be ripped apart, but no one has found it yet.
Nobody's found it yet. Interesting.
Secondly, you're like, oh, Stardew Valley, there's no way that's a dark, deep game. Two things. One, there's a war going on. That's where Kent has been, Jody's husband. They're Jody and Vincent and Sam.
Yeah.
Their father comes back from war after the first year. I mean, he wouldn't be gone fighting a war if nobody was fighting a war.
I totally thought you were just about to blow my theory out of the water.
There's the second mine that you go to in the desert oasis.
Yeah.
If you read the plaques, the translation of the hieroglyphs on the wall, it says stuff like, we were cursed, we were trapped down here, we've been transformed. It implies that the iridium, the purple stuff that you mine down there, turned the people into the monsters down there, the skeletons.
Oh, that's so creepy.
Skeletons and the mummies that you fight. So if that's not deep and dark, I don't know what is. It's literally deep and dark because you're on level 50 of a mine.
So my wild theory that doesn't exist is, what if the game starts out with its cute, bright colors and you're inheriting this farm? You're trying to learn how to become a farmer. And then it's like the slow descent into the commercialization of farming. Because
it is though.
Right? So you've got this like JoJo Mart that starts growing and expanding and more people start going. So I thought, wouldn't it be hilarious if, you know, that you pour your heart and your soul into your farm, and then 5 months or 2 years down the road, everything starts to get really dark as the corporations take over.
Especially the way that most people play it. I mean, when you start off, you're like making 16 parsnips a season and you sell your little pocket at the local farmer's market. But by year three, people are pumping out 400,000 crops of ancient fruit or blueberries or whatever they decide to do, you know, every week. They're mass producing. It becomes mass production. I mean, you do shut down Jojo Mart, but what happens is you run it out of business. So you're also becoming a monopoly in Pelican Town.
But I mean, I guess being the one farmer in the town is fine.
Is it though?
I just thought it would be funny because you start off working for that corporation and then you inherit the farm. And then it's like, okay, I'm going to go and I'm going to be a farmer. And I'm going to escape. I'm going to get away from the corporation. I'm going to go live the dream in my little farm. And then slowly you see Jojo Mart and, you know.
What if he's literally like a dream? What if he's so broken by being a cog in the corporate machine of Jojo Mart that he gets this letter and finds out his grandpa died and has a mental break and none of Stardew Valley actually happens? You go to this perfect, idyllic town where no one ages and your crops grow really fast and you make all this money and you get a free house and then all the townspeople love you.
And then you marry someone and you live this whole life. And then all of a sudden,
it was all a dream.
You wake up and it's like, hey, hero, time to go home. You're just back in the office.
Your shift's over.
Yeah, your shift's over. Are you okay?
See you here tomorrow.
Yep, see you tomorrow.
Early.
Be crazy.
I have two theories. One is more popular. What it is that during the Halloween Spirit Eve festival, you can find Linus standing next to the wizard, but you can't interact with them. So I wondered if there was a dialogue that I'm missing or if there's a way to get to that. So I looked that up. And there apparently is hidden dialogue. But I didn't read it. I didn't get to that part. But it's just fodder for the theory that I also subscribe to, that Linus is some kind of druid. He's hanging up there. He's hanging out up there with the wizard. He lives in the wild and somehow manages to survive, despite the fact that he'll be standing there at the lake and there's a horseradish literally 2 feet away, but he's apparently starving anyway because he's been foraging in trash cans. You're like, here, I'll bring this away from you because apparently you're helpless. He's tied to the land magically. Right. So that Linus is a druid of some kind because he's living out there literally wild man. And because if you collapse down in the mine, he's the one who finds you in the morning. So what is he doing? Just hanging out, watching adventures go into the mine and yet able to go down 40 floors into the mine and able to come rescue you? I also like the idea, and this is another popular one, that he is a retired Jojo Mart executive or the CEO. And
ew.
He is so disgusted by Jojo Mart that he is living homeless in penance, basically.
I like that one.
Especially because one of the things that he requests from you on the board, the like go fetch me shit board, are diamonds. It's like he's rummaging in the garbage, but how can he afford to pay you for diamonds? But he does, so it's one of the things he requests from you. So I like that idea too. So my personal theory that I like a lot, I like to think about the way NPCs react to the absurd shit that players can do, is that the player is some kind of incarnation of Yoba who still has a shrine that everyone and their mom goes to, everyone and George goes to on Sundays in Pierre's house/shop. But Yoba doesn't seem to have any other referent in the game. Nobody talks about it or does anything, but Yoba is their god. Oh, and here's this farmer who can chop down 8 trees a day and grows crops insanely fast and manages to catch all of these legendary fish that have never been heard of before and wields a sword and slays monsters no problem. And people are like, yeah, that's just our friendly neighborhood demigod Yoba in the guise of a farmer out there living on the farm back yonder.
That's a good theory. I like that
I mean,
one.
Think about it. There's this bizarre fisherman's ghost, the mermaid's ghost, hanging out on the beach. How come you can see this ghost? What kind of special powers do you have that make you able to see this ghost?
Nobody else see the ghost?
The ghost who gives you the marriage pendant?
No, because I haven't married anyone in that yeah. game.
So he's on the beach on rainy days. And he's like, everyone in Pelican Town knows what this pendant means if you give it to them. To propose marriage, you exchange this strange pendant. Which, I mean, that's just a weird local tradition anyway. Kind of a bizarre tradition to have. But yeah, you can see this ghost. You catch all this legendary stuff that's never been done before. The wizard's like, I foresaw your coming when you talk yeah. to the wizard for the first time.
Well, I mean, that just could be that the wizard has that ability. It doesn't necessarily mean you are a demigod.
You're like the unknowing or possibly knowing incarnation of Yoba. But think about it. Pierre's going under. Everyone's life is kind of going under before you get there. Shane works at Jojo Mart and is super depressed. Pam's an alcoholic and out of job. She's not a bus driver anymore. And what is everyone doing? They're praying. They're going to the shrine and saying, do something to help us. And what is it that comes down yeah. to shut down Jojo Mart? It's you.
That's very interesting.
You are.
I like that theory, but I do. I am kind of particular to the one that you're living a dream. It's just because it's darker. It's just like, what if you put 120 hours into this game and then all of a sudden at the end, you know, when you're like ready to do something and end and start a new game or something, it's
oh,
like...
Oh, it turns out there were actually hallucinogenic mushrooms in that envelope I opened
not
for
even,
my grandma.
You didn't even open an envelope. Or it, oh my God, what if at the end of the game, it's just like all of a sudden... flashes to you at your desk looking at the envelope and all it is your grandfather's obituary.
Notice of his obituary. Yeah, yeah.
And you're just like, oh. Oh my God. See, okay. I'm really into that. So if you play the entire freaking game and then all of a sudden the theme music kind of peeks in and you think to yourself, I've done it. I finished my farm. What a great like 300 hours in this game. And all the things I could have wanted to do in my life in Stardew. Then it cuts to you, just your hands, so you can't really see what's around you. And it shows the obituary letter for your grandfather. And then it slowly pans out. And it's just you sitting in your office looking at this letter. And then your coworker comes and is like, see you tomorrow.
Dark. There's also the idea that Abigail is the wizard's daughter because of her hair color, but I don't like that one because Caroline even mentions I don't like that Abby dyes her hair or something like that, implying that Abigail dyes her hair. But she does say when you give her quartz, she says, thanks, how did you know I was hungry?
What?
So it implies that she eats rocks.
Maybe she has, what is that, pica?
Yeah, I think it's pronounced Pika.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe she's a dragon in disguise.
Maybe.
The other one that I like that I, because I'm intrigued by when you dig up dwarven artifacts, one of them's a computer. And the books that you read, they call
Ooh,
the dwarves the sky people.
That's interesting.
So the idea that the dwarves are aliens who crash landed here a long time ago and brought iridium with them kind of has interesting implications. I mean, Maru builds a robot and Sebastian is a computer programmer, and yet everyone uses swords. There's just a bizarre mix of technology levels in Pelican Town. There's a whole bunch of mysterious shit in Pelican Town that nobody seems to question. Like, oh, there's this glittering rock. One day it just explodes. That's just how life is in Pelican Town. Oh, this gigantic meteorite. The number of times a meteorite has struck and everyone's just like, eh. Didn't hit anyone. That's just how it is
yeah.
in Pelican Town. What I'm especially intrigued by is the noted conflict between the dwarves and Krobus and the shadow people. If you get to enough friendship levels, I think it's two hearts with both the dwarf and Krobus, you have an encounter where they're meeting each other and they're fighting about how their mm-hmm. people are traditionally at war. Krobus is like, I hate you that because you're a dwarf and you hate me because I'm a shadow person, but I'm just chilling here selling stuff, so just leave me alone. And they kind of agree to go their separate ways. But Krobus is one of those shadow people, a kind of person that attacks you in the mind. So I wonder if that's another kind of alien. If you want to go completely and unfounded, you could say, oh, they were dwarves and shadow people were both aliens and they were fighting in space and they crash landed in Pelican Town and they started a new civilization.
Careful. You just started a new theory.
But there's my favorite idea, which is that the shadow people are what the original Pelican Town inhabitants were turned into when they were poisoned by the iridium.
Oh.
So there's, what's going to happen
like
now when you're advanced enough in your own farm and you upgrade your watering can to an iridium water can and you're using iridium sprinklers to water your crops? What kind of effects are eating those crops going to have?
Oh, man. So I know when the game released, nobody knew like how many seasons would go by before the end happened. And there still is no end, as far as I know, right?
Yeah, there isn't really an ending. You can get married and have kids and then just continue on in your farm. And after the third year, the spirit of your grandfather shows up and either says, yeah, you did good job, kid. Or, no, you didn't do good enough. You didn't do well enough. You can try again next year. Oh, also, the old guy on the TV who...
Yeah, like the weatherman?
Oh. No, not the weatherman.
Because remember, like, you've gotten a lot further in this game than I have.
Yeah, well, there's the weather lady, but there's also the guy who's like living off the land and he gives you tips.
Yeah, that guy, okay.
He's your grandpa.
Is he really?
I don't know, but I like the idea.
That's ridiculous.
I love that idea.
That is a great idea. It's the spirit of your grandfather giving you tips. Man, this main character is crazy.
I was imagining that he was like, had his own Bob Ross style TV show where he gave farming tips.
Okay,
but
that's way
I
better.
I also like the idea, now that you've just given me, that his ghost is possessing your TV set and giving you tips. And if you tried to catch that channel on someone else's TV, they'd be like, what are you talking about?
Right? Wouldn't that be hilarious? Your main character is nuts. I mean, I guess you'd
he's not the first ghost that you talk to.
Right.
There's also that mysterious statue that when you give it a sweet gemberry, it wakes up. What the hell is that doing there? And why does it only respond to you?
I love that there's like a lot of weird stuff like that in Stardew.
There's a lot of weird stuff like that in Stardew. Okay, think about the, have you bought anything from the market lady who only shows up on the weekend?
Yeah, because her carriage shows up every once in a while. Only on a specific day, I think. Yeah,
firstly, her carriage is drawn by a pig.
Yeah, which is weird. That's weird.
Very strange and hilarious. But also she's like, I've got all this contraband for you. And then it's stuff like peaches. And like,
yeah, so like,
I'm
why
worried
are
about
peaches illegal?
If part of the reason why Jojo Mart has so much power and influence is that because of this war, maybe there's a blockade and you can't actually get supplies.
Oh, man.
And in the nearest city that you go to, that you go to that concert with Sam, that I don't know.
That's crazy.
I mean, there's also the idea that it's a post-apocalyptic society that has rebuilt itself, and that's why that shit is so rare.
And that would explain the computers.
The computers and the sword.
Yeah, but it doesn't really explain some of the other stuff. But I'd be okay with it being post-apocalyptic, though. I mean, I don't think, obviously, that many people would be happy if you just, like, woke up in your job, still in your job, with the obituary of your grandfather that you never spoke to because you were too busy to take time off work, so you never really got to see him. Like, I think people would...
His mind breaks from the guilt.
Yeah, I think people would revolt. They would hate Stardew. But me, I'm the type of person that would love that. But so if I can't have that theory as the go-to conspiracy...
Apocalypses are a good second.
I actually like the idea that two countries are at war and you have no idea. Like, oh, by the way, you're in North Korea. Could you imagine?
What if? There's live fire because Kent has the popcorn scene. He's traumatized and he mentions, you know, the sound is reminiscent of his time on the front lines of the battlefield where they used guns out there. Which is weird considering the Adventurers Guild gives you a rusty sword and has the guild training with a sword.
Yeah, that is weird.
And Abigail may or may not be a wizard's daughter or a dragon, so maybe she just prefers the way of the sword, okay?
Yeah,
That when is I'm really not playing weird. Video games, I'm practicing with a sword. And honestly, what kind of video game nerd do you know of who doesn't also like playing with swords?
Let me think about that for a second, because I'm sure there are people out there who prefer, like, pistol weapons rather than a sword. Okay, the look she's giving me right now
is I'm letting you think about it, because it's taking you a while.
Yeah, it is taking me a while. Fair. Fair enough.
Chime in and let us know if you're a pistol person or a sword person.
You have the option. Both. Like Final Fantasy VIII.
A sword gun.
Yeah. Okay, so as far as crazy theories go.
Oh, yeah, I have another one.
No, go for it.
Again, this isn't one that's unique to me, but it's a theory that Gunther at the museum is also a ghost. Because the museum's completely empty, you're the only one who ever fills it up with anything. And even though people go in and out of the museum, no one but Lewis ever seems to interact with him. But Lewis could be some kind of weird mayoral powers of his own, but he also could just be standing at the desk thinking, oh, this is where Gunther used to work when he was alive, and my friend.
Yeah. Aw. Okay, but all these theories are really dark. But
that's what you wanted.
I think that I didn't realize that the game had
hidden depths.
Name drop. You got
hidden
it.
Depths.
You got it.
That's the name of our segment. You didn't realize the game had hidden depths? Well, that's what the deep dive is meant to discover. We plumb the hidden depths and discover new things to talk about.
Yes, it's true. I didn't realize that the game actually had that dark stuff in there. I mean, I should have known, because in that first moment when I was like, oh, you're working at Jojo Mart and you hate your job and you have to, like, the fact that you leave your job and go and then you're in this town and you see Jojo Mart. Hello, the creator clearly was like, there's some darker stuff that I just want to throw in here. I should have known that that it had that potential. We could do maybe two more theories.
This one isn't fully fleshed out because I actually haven't played far enough in the game since the new DLC. Well, actually, Concerned Ape was awesome. It's not DLC. You don't have to pay for it. It's just a patch with new content. But he updated and he added like a witch character to it. And I only briefly encountered her before I restarted my game because my playthrough wasn't perfect.
Queen of save scumming.
I'm pretty sure there's some faint implication that the wizard and the witch are at war or exes or in some kind of personal war. But I enjoy the idea because one of the random things that can happen overnight is that the witch flies over your farm cackling. And she turns one of your chickens into a void chicken. Why would she do that unless she has some kind of grudge against you personally? Aside from, I mean, there's just the idea that she's just generic witchly mischief, which arguably is in the nature of an evil witch, like she's portrayed to be, who lives in a swamp and flies on a broom and cackles at night, which is also what I do at night, so no judgment here.
Wow, you just did the... Yep.
That was my grunt.
Wow, that was great. That was perfect. Yeah, no, I could tell. I could tell. Oh, God. You've perfected
that. There's the idea
that
she has some kind of beef with the wizard or their exes. There's also the idea that she was your grandmother.
What?
She's your grandmother and either... I mean, no one in Pelican Town seems to age, so why did your grandfather die there?
I have noticed that. That is really weird.
Did he, though? Maybe he didn't die there because he left. Maybe he died because he left.
Maybe, or maybe he never died. We don't actually know for sure that
maybe
he's died.
Maybe he's actually Linus. Maybe Linus is your grandfather. Yeah. Maybe the wizard is your grandfather. Maybe the witch is your grandfather.
Like, what if he sent you a letter giving you his farm and he's off seeing the world or something? He's like, I'm retiring. I don't want to run a farm.
Well, his ghost shows up on year three.
Oh, right. Okay. That's right. Well, what if it's not a ghost? What if it's a magical...
Astral projection?
Yeah,
hey, I mean, I know I look like a ghost. I'm not dead. I'm just astral projecting from fantasy France.
I was thinking Magic Kingdom.
Seeing the sights.
Be kind of hilarious.
You get like year 17 of playing, you get another envelope from your grandfather. Just snapshots of him in the Mickey Mouse ears.
Like, this is heaven.
Riding Magic Mountain.
I'm up in the clouds.
Oh, God.
So,
This is not a theory, but what do you like most about Stardew Valley?
So I don't know specifically what I enjoy most about it. I know what I dislike most about it at the moment, and that is that if you want to marry Shane, which is new-ish.
Oh my
what
god.
What?
I love that you gravitated towards him right away. He was like, no, you haven't wavered from Shane from day one.
I was sad at first because I couldn't marry Shane. I guess I'll romance Sebastian instead. But I don't romance Shane now, because if you do, during his storyline, he realizes that he's an alcoholic and that he has a problem. And he cleans up. But if you marry him, you go into his room in your house and there's beer cans everywhere. If you don't marry him, he stays clean. He stays sober. So, I mean, like, I'm going to get you to 10 hearts so that you can be happy and sober and you have a fulfilling life with self-respect. But if I marry you, it goes down to shit. So I kind of don't marry him for his own sake.
That's also really dark. Good God. Like, oh, if you marry this person, like, what is the...
The implication is that you're a shitty spouse.
Yeah.
Yeah. Life on the farm, it's horrible.
Yeah.
He marries you and then realizes that you're a god and or a ghost and or something weird. He's like, what did I marry? Yeah. I can't handle the reality of this.
Or also just, like, the implication that, you know, the whole ball and chain and, like, marriage is not good, you know.
I mean, that's so plebeian. This is hidden depths. Okay, this isn't... Oh, what if Stardew Valley was actually... I can't even think of, like, a mild-mannered theory.
Yeah. Well, I just mean, like, that's a bit shocking that he, like, cleans up, but then you get married and he relapses. I feel like that's a bit tragic.
Yeah, I agree.
Oh, that's a bummer. But that's maybe Shane's story.
Well, that's the thing. It's, like, never mentioned. When you're talking to him, it's never like, oh, I fell back into the bottle. I fell off the wagon. It's just...
You just see them.
He never mentions it again.
Oh.
You just see he'll go be drinking beer at Gus's. He'll go be drinking beer at Gus's place.
Are there more stories like that with the characters? Like, I know that I really liked, when I first started, I really liked the homeless guy.
Linus,
yeah. And I was hoping that there was more to Linus's story. Like, I really liked Penny. And I thought that she was like, at the beginning, I was like, oh, I like Penny. But then I realized... She doesn't really, like, tell you anything. She never really opens up to you.
Well, she lives in an abusive household. Abusive people don't really open up. They close
abused,
up.
Not abusive.
But the thing that she does share most with you is that when you get to 8 hearts with her, you have a picnic where she's teaching the kids and she asks you, which the biggest effect question that you can have with her, and she asks you if you want to have kids someday. And if you say, no, I hate kids, it's like negative 50 friendship points with her. And she's like, oh, well, fuck you then.
Which is ridiculous, in my opinion. Like, you should be able to say to a friend, I personally don't want kids.
Sorry, she doesn't really react with fuck you, but it does drop her. Like, I think at that point,
she unfriends you on Facebook.
Angling.
She doesn't like your political opinion, no. So she unfriends you on Facebook.
I think she got her heart broken. Oh, I think she got her heart broken.
Like, she liked you.
She liked you, and she was hoping that if you got together, you would have similar future goals. And when your character says, no, I don't like kids, she's a little heartbroken because she realizes that she really wants kids and you would be incompatible. Yeah, a deal breaker. Oh, and yeah, there's the fact that Demetrius divorces Robin and falls in love with the farmer.
Shut up. Shut up. Are you serious?
No.
Are you serious?
No.
Okay, so do you know my story? Do you know my story? How come no one has told me this
it's
yet?
It's not true. That's why. It's
oh, you asshole.
God. God damn it. I was literally like, I'm reinstalling Stardew tonight.
Oh my god. Well played. So for those of you who have never been to watch me play video games on twitch.tv, I played Stardew Valley and I fell in love with Demetrius, the character, who reminds me a lot of my partner. And unfortunately he is taken. So then I don't marry anyone. In my playthrough, I was like, I'm not settling.
if you can, is the VOD of that still up? Because it's hilarious. Because the whole time you're pining, oh, why is he married? I guess I won't marry anyone. And then you go to the fortune teller at the fair and she's like, who is it that I see close to you in a dark room? It's Demetrius. And your face in that moment.
Yeah, it was pretty good. I got excited.
It was like what just happened now when you told me he divorces Robin.
Okay.
Troll complete.
The only thing that could have made that better is if I actually had voiced earlier. Because when you said, I know the one thing that I dislike about this game, I was about to be like, I wish you could marry Demetrius. So, yeah. But no, good for him. He's happy. He's very happy, in fact.
Unlike you.
So, good for him. But I refuse to settle, so I will be alone with my cat on my farm. Any other theories you got for me?
I'm trying to think. I'm trying to run down, like, the characters, like Emily.
Pam! What about Pam? Tell me about Pam. Do you learn more about Pam? This is, like, less conspiracy theory now, and or hidden depths, and now we're just, I just want to know about these characters because you've played this game so much.
You do, but it's like, it doesn't have any real deep...
Or redeem herself?
She just becomes a bus driver. I mean, it doesn't mean that she doesn't have any. It just means that I got her to 10 or 12 hearts and nothing.
You got everybody to 10 hearts, though, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. I always do. It drives me crazy if I don't get them at 10 hearts, which means that there's a point in my game where my character is a total playboy and has every bachelor and bachelorette's are... Every bachelor and bachelorette is my boyfriend and girlfriend. That's the only way you can get them to 4 hearts. And then I ask
you
one of them to marry
player.
Me. And all the others are heartbroken.
We're going to play that now. So, teacher PB, do the thing. Just right after she says that, just fucking do that.
I am a heartbreaker. I just wish you could marry more than one person, but mostly so that I could have them all help out on my farm.
I knew you were going to say that. Like, you just want slaves.
This husband has gone to fix all the fences on the farm, and my wife has gone to feed all the cows. Yeah, I don't need to do anything. I just can just fish all day. I'll just be a deadbeat farmer.
Well, fishing isn't being a deadbeat. You're fishing. You're doing something.
Yeah, especially the way I do it, because I cast a line and then I open the journal. So time doesn't pass until the fish gets caught.
And
then
stop.
You get a fish on the line and then I catch it. So I get a lot of fish without any time passing.
Stop. You can't laugh like that.
Well, I told you the other day about my gold crops method, and you're like, that's genius. But now you're like, oh, you're such a cheater.
But I did also yesterday, I said that's genius, but also like super cheaty.
It is cheaty. Scum saving. Save scumming.
So
save
tell scum. Everybody so they know.
Oh, okay. So the random number generator on whether or not a crop is... Or it's the quality on the day that you pick it, it doesn't reset when you save. So you wake up on a day, you go and you pull up all of your crops, you remember which ones are gold stars, and then you reset. And you start the day again, and you only pick the ones that are gold stars, and you let the rest of them go to the next day. The next day, the quality has changed, so you repeat, you pick them all, you remember the ones that are gold, and you reset. And you only pick the ones that are gold, and you let the other ones ride.
Oh my god. So
you know,
I thought to myself,
I'm not that much a perfectionist that every crop I need to get is gold, but in order to get the greenhouse in the first year, which is a big deal for me, I have to get it before winter. Otherwise, I freak out and think that I'm wasting my entire winter season. You have to get 5 gold.
Which is exactly what happened to me, by the way. I was like, what do I do this winter now?
You have to get 5 gold parsnips. And if you don't do that by spring's end, when you have no quality fertilizer, you're bored. You're out of luck. You're SOL.
Interesting. Very, very interesting. So what about the festivals? Why do they have so many festivals in Pelican Town?
Because they've got nothing else to do.
You think so?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Does it remind you of like a small town?
Yeah, absolutely. It's just
right.
They've got nothing else to do. Let's throw a party.
Oh, my God. I thought there might be something hidden with the festivals, like they're keeping them distracted or something.
It's all building up to a ceremonial ritual. No, it could be because aliens landed and they're influencing the people that lived here. It could be because it's a post-apocalyptic culture that's risen again, but they do have some strange traditions. They do have some strange traditions in the town, not the least of which is the marriage pendant. That everyone just understands what it means, but also like the bizarre fertility dance that they do at the spring festival. No one has any comment on the gender of your, if you romance them, except Alex. If you're a boy and you romance Alex, he says something like, oh, I never thought about kissing a boy. That's the only comment anyone has about gender, and yet the dance is paired off by gender. Yeah, so if you're paired off with the same gender, you are on the other side with all the, like, if you're a guy, you're with all the ladies, but you're still doing the guy dance. If you're a lady and paired with a lady, you're on the side of the dudes, but you're still doing the lady dance.
Interesting. Sorry if you can hear my cat.
I'm not. He's a beautiful singer. He's singing the song of his people. He's contributing. He's saying, but nobody's listening to my crazy theory.
I know. What is your crazy theory?
His crazy theory is that the cat that you get on your farm is actually Yoba. Because you don't feed that thing. It shows up.
I love that cat. And I love that it's an orange cat, like my cat. That would be cool if the cat's Yoba. Just like blessing your farm.
Protecting your farm. Making the crops grow. Oh, there's a fairy that can come and make one of your crops grow to enormous size.
Yes! I've actually been hit by that fairy twice.
Yeah, she makes your crops overnight grow to full growth. That's the implication that fairies exist.
It's great. Yeah, it's a weird game. I mean, it's a game, so you think that, but it's just kind of neat to think about it from a different perspective and say, well, what if this is real?
What if she's Yoba?
Yeah, what if there is an intended hidden depth in this game?
Thanks for coming to my TED Talk.
Is that how you're going to end every episode as a guest? Thanks for coming to my TED Talk. Do you have any other theories for me?
So Kent, the guy who comes back from the war, everyone, when you get to them to a certain heart level, they start sending you stuff in the mail.
Mm-hmm.
Kent sends you bombs.
Actually?
Actually, yeah. Usually with like a nice letter saying, I found this in the junk drawer. But there's one of two ways you can take that. There's one that with his PTSD, he can't go in the mines and use bombs himself anymore because the trauma of the PTSD. But the second theory is that he thinks you're a JoJo Mart spy and he's trying to assassinate you with mail bombs.
Or maybe he wants you to blow up JoJo Mart.
Maybe he's trying to recruit you into a rebellion against the corporation.
Yeah.
Do you have any more crazy theories?
No, I literally only had the one theory. And it was that. It wasn't even a theory. It was just like, what if? Wouldn't this be really cool if the game is actually super dark and you play it and you get really attached to your farm and then they rip the rug out from under you and you're like, nope, you had no farm.
No farm for you.
Or it just like devolves into this war on corporations and JoJo Mart.
You become the new JoJo Mart.
Yes.
You either die a hero or you live long enough to become the CEO of JoJo Mart.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's what I was thinking. So, but that was it. That's all I had for that.
I want to now start a new game where I make my character look as much like Morris as possible.
Oh my God. You gotta do it. You gotta do it. Anyway, thank you so much for being here and for going through all those crazy theories, braving the hidden depths.
Thank you for listening to my tinfoil hat theories. I especially thank you for listening because no one's ever like, hey, tell me your theories. Normally it's, oh, please stop. You're done. Enough. I'm just going to walk away now. And I'm like, but wait. And I follow you.
I don't know what to say to that. That's creepy. Well, this is going to be a regular segment. So next time you're playing a game and you start thinking of theories, write all those down and then, you know, call me up. Peeps, guess what?
3 a.m. Yeah. Hey, PB, what if? What if I'm Pyramid Head?
Oh my God. Stop. You can't laugh like that because it makes me laugh. Stop.
What if I'm Pyramid Head, PB? What if that?
No, okay, I'm done. Thank you. This is a wrap. Thank you guys for listening to a little bit of a different segment today. I hope that you enjoyed it and that it made you laugh a little bit and think and realize there are maybe hidden depths in Stardew Valley.
That was the worst echo effect.
What? Well, okay. Can you do it better?
No, I can't.
Hidden depths.
Depths.
Why are we lowering the pitch? Okay, one more time.
Hidden depth.
Oh my god. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode.
And if you didn't, f*** you!
So we're not allowed to say the F word on the podcast.
Which is a f***ing shame, I tell you.
All right, that's it. We're done. Thank you. Love you. We're done. Thank you. Goodbye.
The Deep Dive Podcast is brought to you by PBTV. And you can find us at deepdivecast.com, as well as on Twitter and Instagram at deepdivecast. And if you love what you hear, you can support us by leaving a rating and review on iTunes or by visiting us on Patreon at Pumpkinberry. Patrons receive various perks like monthly black and white wallpapers, early access to episodes, bonus episode content, and of course the knowledge that you directly are keeping the Deep Dive afloat. We'd also like to invite you to join us every Monday morning at 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, where we air the episodes live and have a deep dive session with the listeners in chat. Come join in on the conversation at twitch.tv/pumpkinberry. Today we discovered the hidden depths of Stardew Valley, which is an indie farming simulation / RPG that was developed, designed, music composed by Eric Concerned Ape Baroni, and published by Chucklefish. See you next time, divers.
The Deep Dive Podcast is proudly part of the Geek Generation Network. For more podcasts about your favorite geeky things like games or your favorite shows, browse our whole library at thegeekgeneration.com.